Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Buffalo Sabres GM Jason Botterill joins Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. And by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Welcome back to 716. Sabres GM Jason Botterill is with us. Did you guys get through? People have come up a lot today. And a couple different times in the last few minutes. Did you get through the Phil Esposito story?
I did get through the Phil Esposito story.
Was it interesting?
No. Without a doubt.
It was. What is the story? So he has a house in Sault Ste. Marie?
Yeah, the house he grew up in. When Owen was there for training camp and they wanted him to sign there, we got shown around the city, to go see the high school, the whole thing. And a part of that, the gentleman who was driving us around and showing us around town stopped on this side street, just a typical suburban area. Said, like, there's the Phil Esposito, the Phil and Tony Esposito childhood home.
Was it impressive?
It was just like a house,
the house.
Neighborhood. Yeah, I mean, it was.
Nothing. Have you been there?
I have not been there.
You're thinking of going now after hearing this?
I'll have to talk to Colin Miller to see how historic that house
it seems
is.
Like, it seems like every time I look up an NHL player's junior history, for some reason, it's the Sioux. It's like Gretzky. It just always seems like it's the Sioux.
Ron Francis.
Oposo?
No, Oposo played college.
Who am I thinking of?
He played in the USHL.
All right.
In Des Moines, actually, I think.
That's what it is. There was a Bulldog connection. And Gergensen's was in the league?
Gergensen's was in Dubuque.
Dubuque.
Yeah.
How did you grow up, Jason? Did you grow up modest neighborhood, or like, did you have? How did you grow up?
Yeah, blue collar family in Winnipeg. My mom was an elementary school teacher. My dad was a university professor, and grew up pretty much my entire life in Winnipeg. I was born in Edmonton, but spent most of my childhood in Winnipeg.
And there's a Ralph Kruger connection through your dad.
Yeah, my dad, before he became a university professor, taught at St. John's Ravenscourt. It was a private school in Winnipeg, and Ralph was a student there, and my dad, I think, taught Ralph fifth grade math.
All right, my son is in fifth grade.
While we're on family stuff, I
don't have anything more.
Sister
than that,
is going to be involved in an all-female hockey telecast coming up on NBC. I think, is it this weekend?
Yeah. So my sister was obviously was at four Olympics for Team Canada,
three gold medals,
and had a great experience there, and I give her a lot of credit. She's worked really hard at sort of her public speaking presentation thing. And I also give a lot of credit to some of the corporations in Canada, Royal Bank of Canada, Rona. They've continued sponsorship with her and stuff over the years. It's been great. And the last couple of years, she's been working part-time with the Islanders. Mm-hmm. She does live in Toronto, has a young family, but has done some games for Toronto there, with the Islanders, and now is going to get more of an opportunity from a national scale. So very exciting for her.
Good. So, Jason, last time we talked before the road trip, even maybe before the deadline, it would have been before the deadline, you talked about getting after it there with the standings and maybe feeling, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but feeling like you had a shot. Maybe that's different now. I don't know. What are we looking at here with, is it 16 games left?
Well, I think it's certainly, let's just be honest, it's a disappointing road trip. We Played well at times, but we did not get the results. And I think going into the trade deadline, we'd won 5 out of 6. I think our group was excited about the acquisitions of both Dom and Wayne, bringing into our group there. I thought we came out with a lot of energy against Colorado, played a very good game there. Disappointing that we couldn't, you know, hey, find a way to get a goal at the end of that to at least push it to overtime. And hey, I think you go through the rest of the games throughout the road trip. There was positive moments, but at the end of the situation, we're not capitalizing. We're not getting the results that we want. So, you know, nothing's changed from our perspective. It's a situation where we have to continue to look at the small picture. Ralph has talked about that throughout the entire year. We still have to continue to find ways in each game to improve as a group, and that starts with trying to find a way to, you know, win a game here against Pittsburgh, who, you know, had a strong game on Tuesday. We've played well against them throughout the year, but to beat a team 3 times 1 year is going to be a challenge, and we'll try to do it tonight.
What was deadline day like for you? And while I'd expect you to say that there's always stuff, balls in the air,
yep,
that might have had some chance of happening, was it especially like that, or was it maybe not? Like, how many ideas were thrown around that might have been really close to happening?
Well, I think there was a lot more discussion this year just because of where our team was at. And we had a couple, I guess what you want to call it, bigger things that we talked about for quite a few, for a while with different teams. It didn't materialize. But we've been talking to, you know, we've been on the show before. We've talked about trying to add to our forward group. And some of these discussions had been about players that we've been trying to add for a while here. The time was finally right with the other teams, so we were able to get things accomplished from that standpoint. But, you know, I think we had talked about the potential of moving some of our players in other deals, and you know, we didn't want to sort of trade off some of our players of bigger magnitude. Some of the other players, maybe we could have got mid-round draft choices for guys, but we also felt where we're at as an organization right now was important to keep this group together and continue to work on here.
You're right, you were 6 points out at the time, and now is it 12? I think it's 12. Mm-hmm. So is there disappointment organizationally that happened? And is there even any regret that you didn't do different things on deadline day, or can't you live like that?
No, I don't think there was regret just because of where we were at, too. Like, we looked at, it's not just how we played that last weekend against Pittsburgh and Winnipeg. You look at it as much as there was a lot of ups and downs in the month of February, I think from January 1st to the trade deadline, we were 9th in the league in regulation wins. So, you know, we felt that we were making progress there. We were excited about the potential of getting Linus back into the mix here and where it could go. I think, certainly, we were disappointed. I think you see that with our players, with their comments, and with Ralph. There's a disappointment that we haven't been able to get more results in the last 4 games. Now it's our challenge to respond. And I think that's one of the things that Ralph has done a very good job with this group, is when things have looked disappointing, when things have been very frustrating, whether it's, you know, at the end of November, whether it's after the loss on New Year's Eve, or whether it's, hey, the way we started after the All-Star break, we've been able to respond. And now it's going to be against difficult teams here in the next little week or two. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to respond.
How much awareness is there with how March went last year? I mean, you guys won 2 games last,
yep,
March. I think it'd be understandable if the players sort of lost the plot a little bit. So are you talking with Ralph about that, like trying to make sure that players stay on point here, on message?
Oh, well, I think Ralph's tried to talk about that no matter what the situation is. But, yeah, it's certainly something we've talked as an organization, and it's part of the reason why we brought in a player like Wayne Simmons. You know, he's been through a march. He's been through, knows what it has to have success. And, you know, no matter how that equates to wins this year for us, it's imperative that our players understand what it takes to win games and stuff, especially on the road. And that things like that come naturally for Wayne. And so his experience in those situations is something we wanted to bring into the mix. You also look at a lot of our numbers. I think a big area where we've improved compared to last year, the year before, is just puck possession. Depends on what metric you look at, but actually, you know, just holding on to puck in the offensive zone, we're usually in the top 5 in the National Hockey League. You know, possession throughout the entire game, we're usually in the top 10, but we're not creating enough chances. We're not getting to the net enough. We're not carrying enough in the high danger areas. That's where a player like Wayne, it's natural for him to go to that area. We thought he could complement our group here very well.
Are you talking about actual possession, like minutes and seconds, or are you talking about shot attempts or what?
No, actual possession with the puck.
Okay, so like a time.
Yes.
I don't know that stat very well. Like, what's a good game? How many minutes is a good game?
Well, I think more importantly is where we look at a lot is just where our rank is and throughout the National Hockey League from that standpoint.
So what's average? 30? I mean, you talk about offensive zone?
Yes.
Okay.
No, well, we're talking, obviously, that's the biggest area. What we've tried to work on a lot is just, hey, making sure we control the puck more. I think that's one of the things that has helped us from a defensive standpoint, holding on to pucks more.
Right.
It's why we, you know, you look at a player like Jack Eichel or, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, they're certainly doing it. It's part of the reason we brought in a Marcus Johansson, just, you know, his smoothness with exits and entries into the offensive zone. So what I think has improved a lot compared to, say, 2 years ago where it was more of a chip-and-chase game, we're holding on to the puck, but we're not creating enough opportunities off of that.
All right.
And that's where you look at it from a situation where, you know, our expected goals, our opportunities in and around the net, we have to do a better job of getting there.
Yeah, what's a good number? Do you know? Like, what's a good number for minutes of – I've never looked at that. I want to see – what I'll look at is expected goals or, you know, the Corsi and used to be Fenwick and those kind of numbers. And the Sabres do not excel in those numbers, 5-on-5 or close situations, unless you're using a certain method that I don't know.
Well, look, expected goals, especially, you're going to have different people with different philosophies on what exactly goes into that number and stuff there. And, look, we certainly feel we've improved a lot from an even strength playing defense from that standpoint. It's obviously what's hurt us a lot on this past road trip, too, was just our special teams and our PK. It's something that we have to drastically improve in area. But, you know, we feel we've improved from a defensive standpoint. We're still trying to continue to find create more opportunities and more offense at even strength, especially.
I thought one more small point, if I could. Like, I thought in the Winnipeg game, there was some disagreement. Like, the analytics, the stats had expected goals under 2, and Ralph Kruger was talking about all these scoring chances. Scoring chances has always been sort of a subjective statistic.
Well, it's a subjective statistic, and also, too, expected goals is going to be subjective depending on different people's models. So that's what you also have to consider from that standpoint.
I guess, yeah. That's right. You know, it's sort of been frustrating for me as someone interested in all that over the years that, you know, whether it's the Sabres or it could be any team, wouldn't just use an established objective, not a league statistic per se, but like just somebody who's producing that because, you know.
Well, but it's also with an evaluation of a player. There's always going to be opinions a lot, and this expected goals model is better than anyone else's, you're never going to have everyone believing in the same model.
Right, yeah. Objectivity would be key, though, to getting anything right. Sort of a cold. Like, I would think if you had numbers that are proprietary and someone else, even the NHL, had different numbers, you'd want to know why. Right? You'd want to know why. What's the difference?
Without a doubt.
Okay, enough stats.
So the way forward here, what's coming? You know, I mean, I know the offseason, there's going to be a lot of salary room, although signing some of your own guys will probably swallow up a good chunk of that, maybe depending on what you plan to do with Dahlin. This is the first summer you can think of extending him.
Correct.
But as far as, like, where are players coming from that are going to help you get more scoring chances, you know?
Well, I think, look, we've tried to have flexibility each year. No matter what happens, we're trying to make sure that we're not impacted on where the salary cap's going to go, that we have that flexibility of salaries coming off our roster. This year we certainly have set it up where we have the opportunity to, you know, re-sign our own players if we want or, hey, add players if need be. We've worked hard over the last couple of years of improving our defense. We feel comfortable with the defensemen we have here right now and the defensemen that we have coming through the system. From a forward standpoint, we have to add more depth. We're still a work in progress from that standpoint. And we're obviously extremely ecstatic about Olsson taking the jump this year. I think when he came out of the lineup in January, it certainly impacted our team. You look at Jack and Sam continuing having strong years. And then also, too, I thought it took a huge step this forward this year. Just the camaraderie and the impact Gergensen, Larson, Oposo have added just from a puck possession, wearing down teams, having an opportunity to play against other teams' top lines at times, freeing up more of an opportunity for Jack to play against other lines. Where we have to do, we have to continue to obviously find more scoring options. And we're excited about where Casey Mittelstadt's at right now. We obviously want to get Tage Thompson healthy. Dylan Cousins is going to be a player that we'll certainly give an opportunity to add to our lineup here next year. Then it's players that we think that can help out our penalty kill in the future, whether it's Erasmus Asplund or Ritsalainen, who was in training camp with us this year. Those are the type of players that we're going to continue to look to add to our mix there. And then, hey, we'll see what happens out from a trade standpoint or on a free agent standpoint.
It feels to me like maybe free agency has always kind of been a trap, but it feels more like that to me now. Like teams, I think, are doing a better job of protecting, signing their good players. And like if a player who's accomplished something notable in the league is available in free agency, I almost feel like there's a buyer beware tag there. How do you view that market?
No, I think your intuition is certainly true, and I think it's a situation where you do have to be careful about that come July 1. I also think, hey, let's be honest, it's part of the, we talked about what Wayne Simmonds can add to our group here right now. It's also a situation where that he fits in with our mix here. I think Buffalo's always had a better opportunity to re-sign their own players. Once they get here, once they feel if there's a mix here, once they get to be a part of the city, there's always that better opportunity and stuff. So that was one of the reasons we also brought in Wayne right now.
Yeah, you're saying, maybe you've already said it, like you're saying about Simmonds, I think we thought this when you got him. Like, I think you want him to sort of show either all your players or the core players a certain something, whether it's, it's not going to be the playoffs probably, but these games coming up or the games already. Is it, like, can you sort of speak to that a little bit? Like, what is it that he, what's an example maybe, or a couple examples of the kind of things that you value in him that maybe you think your team needs?
Well, I think just you saw it right off the bat in the Colorado game, the physicality that he brings in the forecheck. I also think, as we talked about before, he is a good player that likes to play in front of the net. It's come natural for him. It's not something that you have to remind him. He's going to get there.
How about in the locker room?
In the locker room, he's a personality, and that's what we've talked to him a lot about. Is it's always difficult coming into an environment right off the bat, where you may not know a lot of players. But I think you've seen that even on the ice. He played a world championships with Jeff Skinner, and you see some chemistry with two of them already out there.
Yeah, and at the deadline, I'm now remembering, I think a couple times you talked about him as a strong personality or vocal.
Yep.
That kind of thing. When you assess the leadership you have here, that if you looked at it and said there's not enough vocal, there's not enough strong personality, then this logically would be a thing you would do. Is that pretty fair?
Well, look, I think a lot of our, like, Kyle Oposo's been in our league a lot and stuff, and he's taken on a big role from our leadership perspective. We have, Marcus Johansson's come into our group, especially with the European players, been almost a godfather for him from that standpoint. And look, Jack continues to grow as a captain, but over a course of 82 games, you can't have the same voices all the time. You have to have more people supporting that, and that's what we look at from someone from Wayne. And to our group, what we've talked about before here on the show, bringing players in who have had success in the playoffs, players who understand the grind of 82 games and what it takes to get to the playoffs, that certainly comes natural for Wayne, and it's natural for Wayne to talk to players about that.
Do you think, guys, Eichel is 5 years and Reinhardt is too?
Yep.
Do you think it's easier when you miss the playoffs for as long as those guys have and other guys on the team? Ristolainen would certainly be this. Is it easier to give up? Is it easier to think your team or you can't do something when you haven't done it?
No, I think it drives you actually more. You're more pissed off. You're more frustrated by that. But I also think from our guys, they're open to it. They're looking for communication from Wayne on and what does it take. And I think you've seen it with our group. I'm not looking back on, say, how we played in October or December. You look back on how we played a week and a half ago. It was there. But we have to do that on a more continuous basis. And I think that's just what the preparation. I think our team has done a great job off the ice in what they have to go about and to be prepared for the game. But as we go through a game, facing adversity, we have to be stronger from that standpoint. We've shown an ability after the games to come back in the next game. Within the game, we have to find more opportunity to be stronger and to battle through and at least get a point and see where it goes from a win standpoint.
Jason, thanks for coming over. As always, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much, guys. You guys have a good night.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.